Good to be with you this evening. Glad that you all chose to be out here with us for our midweek service. I know the last couple of weeks with the holidays, they get our days kind of mixed up a little bit. It's always good to have another opportunity to gather together and study God's Word. I want to study with you a little bit about the paths that men walk. We have two paths that we can choose to walk, and we have two destinations that those paths lead to. And those destinations are in opposite directions of one another, and those destinations are set. There is a path that will lead to destruction, there is a path that will lead to eternal life, and that's what we're going to talk about this evening. I know a lot of times in our society people will talk about the many different paths that people can travel and do these things, and there's a lot of ways we can go through this life, but when you get right down to it, the Bible teaches that as far as the pathway you're walking, you're on this one or you're on this one. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. The two paths of travel for us through this life. One is a pathway of righteousness, one is a pathway of wickedness and evil. As far as the wicked path goes, we might describe this as the wrong way. If you're traveling down the road and you start going down a road and it's a one-way street and you're going the wrong way, you may see this sign that says, wrong way. Well, this, it would be nice if there were a lot of signs along the way in our face telling us this as we walk through this life, but that's what's happening when we walk the pathway of the wicked. We're going the wrong way. We're not going where we want to go. People have urged us as we grew up to make the right choices, to take the right steps, to enter the right path. We urge our children as they grow up, do the right thing. Make these right choices. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 through 17, the wise man in speaking to his son here, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Here he is urging his son, saying, whatever you do, don't get on this path. Don't enter into that way. Don't go the way of evil men. Get away from it. Run from it. You know, we have a saying, a lot of times there's no rest for the wicked. I think a better way of saying that is, as the Bible describes it here, is that evil men do not rest until they achieve or do wickedness. That's what this passage is telling us. Their heart is set on wickedness. A lot of times they may not even plan it that way, but their priorities are such that that's all that's going to come out of the fruit of their actions, because they are not walking the pathway of righteousness. And so they don't have rest until they have achieved some form of wicked behavior. Psalm 52 and verse 1 through 3, and we won't read the heading part in verse 1, but we'll pick up here in the middle of it, says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather to speak righteousness." I find this passage very telling about when we talk about the wicked and things like that. Look at what he says here. He said, your tongue, it works and comes up and devises and creates these mischiefs. And it's like a sharp razor. It works deceit. It puts effort into working deceitfully. Now in verse 3 it says, thou lovest evil more than good. What a statement that is, to describe someone that they would love evil more than good. Sounds just like the Proverbs reference we mentioned just a second ago. And lying rather than to speak righteousness. You may have heard in times past how someone would lie when the truth would serve them better. Well, that's what happens when you get wrapped up into this and walking the wrong way. People will lie when it would be better off for them in the situation to tell the truth, but the habit is to lie. The habit is to be deceitful. And this is a description of those that walk the pathway of wickedness. They love evil. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9 through 10, talking about the same group of people in a different characteristic. It said, "Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These people are on the pathway of wickedness. They are going down a pathway that has only one end, and that is destruction for eternity. And look how they are described. They are fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves. When was the last time you heard someone described as a thief in a complimentary light? We don't do that. Covetous, drunkards, extortioners, all of these. And it says they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The end of that pathway that they are traveling is destruction, and there is no other end than that, as long as they walk that pathway. Common sense tells us that the unrighteous aren't traveling the right path. We should be able to look at that Bible and understand where men go and they have two end results and how people are walking on the pathway of wickedness, and we should turn and run away from that. It's easy to see how these are described as unrighteous and understand they are traveling the pathway of wickedness. Look at what Christ says about this wicked path. He says, "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now we could take this one set of verses right here and just expand on it and go a lot of different ways. But look at what he says here. This pathway really is easy to travel. It doesn't take a lot of effort. In fact, we're going to study here in just a minute a passage, and when you combine that with this, you're going to figure out that in order to walk the pathway of wickedness and be considered to be traveling down that pathway, quite honestly, you really don't have to do much. Just don't go the right way. And that's what people do. They reject the Word of God. They rebel against His teachings. They don't travel the pathway that He has set forth. And just by not doing that, that puts them on the pathway of wickedness. And it says there are many. If you're wondering which pathway you might be on and not for sure, look down. Look around. Are there a lot of footprints on that path? Are you traveling with a lot of other people that seem to be walking the same way? If that's the case, you might want to change your way. You might want to look around and say, maybe this isn't the pathway I should be going, because it's too easy to follow and there's too many people walking on it. Where does the pathway of the wicked lead to? We've already discussed this, and we'll bring this up again and make points from what the Scripture tells us about this. But in the explanation of the parable of the tares, look at what Jesus said in just a few words in His explanation. Look at what He says. "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." That's what's waiting for those that travel the pathway of unrighteousness. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Man, that sounds like a place you want to go, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like fun? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verse 41 through 46, made reference to this just a second ago about not having to do anything. Let's look at what He says here. He is describing here, Jesus is, that last day, and those that stand before Him on the day of judgment, how there will be that great separation. It says, "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." That's how they're described, as cursed. "Into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a naked, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment. See, it doesn't end. Once we get to the end of the road of whatever pathway we're traveling, we're there. There's no back door out. There's no side door. There's no get out of jail free card. You're there. And it is everlasting punishment. Everlasting in eternity is hard for our human mind to grasp. The things we've had experience with from the time we've been born up until now, we have beginnings, we have ends, and things like that. Think about one of the longest times you've ever experienced anything in your life and understand that doesn't even come close to comparing it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, when we start talking about those that are on the righteous path. Before we get there, I want to mention one more thing to you about where the end of the wicked path leads. You know in Luke 16, the story of Lazarus and the rich man, talking about what the description of that end result is. Do you remember how the rich man described the condition he was in, where he was at? He said, "I am tormented in this flame." We don't have to listen to anybody else except somebody who was experiencing that in what Jesus was talking about there. He describes it for us. "I am tormented in this flame." Now imagine being tormented forever, that it would never end. We don't like to preach hellfire and brimstone anymore. I know long time ago that's kind of all you heard. But I'll tell you what, it has its place. We need to preach the truth. And the truth is that at the end of the day, those that do not walk with Christ will end up in a place of eternal torment. And they need to be warned. And they need to understand which pathway they're traveling. Now when we talk about the righteous path, how are they characterized? What type of qualities and characteristics, what type of life do we see for those that are walking the pathway of righteousness? Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." People that are traveling the right path, the pathway of righteousness, they desire to glorify God. They want to bring glory and honor to Him, and not just in what they do, but what He says here, so that others may see your good works, and in turn they would glorify the Father. You see, there's an influencing factor here about our lives when we walk the pathway of righteousness. We want to glorify God, and we want to help others to glorify God. John chapter 15 and verse number 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Those that walk the pathway of righteousness, they're fruit bearers. They bring fruit to the glory of God. You know, you have people sometimes that have something good happen to them, and all they want to do is they just want to hoard it up and keep it to themselves, don't want anybody else to have any of it or share in it, don't want anybody else to get to enjoy the good of it. That doesn't describe those that walk the pathway of righteousness. Those that walk the pathway of light want others to come and enjoy the light. They want others to come and enjoy the freedom from the bondage of sin. They want others to come and enjoy that hope of eternal glory with God someday. They bear fruit in their lives. They want others to come and enjoy it and bring fruit to the glory of God by converting people. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 12. He says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now look at how he describes those that walk the pathway of righteousness here. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." See, those that walk the pathway of righteousness, they want to follow after the commandments of Jesus. They want to please him. They want to do the things that he has set forth to be done. They also love one another. They look at the love the Savior has, and they emulate that love in their lives. They try to pattern their life after that and go love other people the way Christ has loved us. They're not self-seeking. Those that walk the pathway of wickedness, they're very similar to the brute beast of the field. Because the thing that pleases the flesh and what I want to do at a moment's notice and on a whim, that's what dictates their life. Those that walk the pathway of righteousness don't act like that. They don't live like that. They look far down the road. They have the goal of heaven. They keep the Savior's commandments and they love others. The wicked don't care about their fellow travelers. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 through 8 says, "Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you have these things, it helps you to where you're not unfruitful. These things allow you to bear fruit. And look at what is happening here. There's a constant growth. People on the pathway of righteousness experience spiritual growth. And the reason is because they focus on it. They put effort into adding these things into their lives. They add to knowledge temperance. They add to temperance patience. They add to patience godliness. They are always trying to add these things into their life and become more spiritually strong in their walk. We looked at where the pathway of wicked ended up. That's set in stone. We can't change that. But you know what else is comforting? Is that the pathway of righteousness, when people walk down that, the end result there is set in stone as well. For some reason, people think that we have a God who, for I don't know why, but somewhere down the line, he's going to jerk the rug out from under them. They're going to do these, they're afraid they're going to do these good things, and they're going to get to miss out on the fun of sin, as that's the way they think, and they're going to do the right things. And at the end, for some reason, he's just going to jerk the rug right out from under them, and there's not going to be a heaven and all that. That's nothing but the devil talking. See, your home in heaven is set in stone as well. The Bible talks about it being reserved there for us. Matthew 25 and verse 46, we read this passage earlier, but look at the last of it. He said, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Eternal life. We have eternal punishment. We have eternal life. Which one would you like? I think we all would choose eternal life. We would want that life of eternity with our Creator, with our God, and with our Savior. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8. He says here, Paul writing, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." A crown of righteousness. Paul using language here in describing something in a way our human mind can understand. He says there's a crown of righteousness there waiting for you. There's something that is so wonderful you want it. It's an amazing thing that waits for you if you will just finish your race as he says he did. He says he fought a good fight, he finished his course, he kept the faith. That's walking the pathway of righteousness. James 1 and verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Here we have the illustration of a crown of life. A crown of righteousness, a crown of life. There's a great reward for walking the pathway of righteousness. A wonderful reward for those that stay on the narrow path. And it is promised, guaranteed to those that love him. But sadly, you have people that think you can travel both. For some reason, you have people who think they can keep one foot on the pathway of righteousness and one foot on the pathway of wickedness, because that still appeals to them. It appeals to the flesh. And so they don't want to totally give all that up and commit to the pathway of righteousness. So we're going to walk a little bit on both sides here. And we're going to do what people call straddle the fence. And I have news for you. You can't straddle the fence. It's impossible. And I'll show that to you from the scriptures. You can't have a little bit of both. See, some people feel like they can call a truce with Jesus and a truce with the devil, and just kind of go down here, and neither one of them will bother them too much. And I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13 says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." It cannot be done. And you know, we have those times where we face those temptations. And I got news for you. You're going to be tempted. Being tempted is not sin. Giving into temptation is sin. But we're tempted. There's certain things that appeal to us. Now, Jeff may have something that appeals to him that would try to pull him off the pathway of right, that I would look at and go, how in the world does that bother you? I mean, how is that an issue? But then on the same hand, Barry's got something that he's fighting with that the devil knows that I kind of have a little problem with sometimes, and he puts that temptation out there and wants to pull me off the pathway of righteousness. And Jeff may look at that and go, I don't know how you're having a problem with that. The thing is, we are all tempted in different ways, but in the same way, because it all appeals to the flesh and the carnal mind. And the devil's influence is always trying to pull you away from safety. So don't forget that. But I can't walk the pathway of right and then go dabble with those things every now and then. I can't willingly go over there and enjoy a little sin and then jump back on the pathway of righteousness. It doesn't work that way. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 12 and 30. Very simple, but very plain. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Jesus said, you are either on his side or you're against him. Now, some people will say, well, I'm not on Jesus' side, but I'm not on anybody else's side. I'm not against him. That's not what the Savior said. Jesus said, you're either on my side, you are with me, or against me. He said, you're either working with me to gather, you're working in the kingdom, putting in the effort, doing these things that characterize a pathway of righteousness, or you're scattering abroad. And basically what that means is, if you're not gathering with me, you are working to tear down. You're working to scatter, to destroy the good. And yet people still think they can walk the fence, a little bit on each side. Jesus spoke very plainly and very clearly that we're either with him or against him. And that's the two places that we're in life. That's the two places we're in this evening. You're either with Christ or you're against him. Which one is it? I don't know. I mean, get up every day and we talk about the new year coming up and we make resolutions. I would say that we need to get up every day and resolve that day for that day. I'm going to do everything I can to glorify God today. And if next Thursday comes around, I'll worry about next Thursday when it gets here. But for today, I'm going to glorify God. For today, I'm going to resist the temptations of the flesh. For today, I'm not going to give in and do those things. For today, I'm not going to do this one thing over here that maybe I've been falling prey to. Because I want to stay on the pathway of righteousness. And if you will resolve to walk the pathway of righteousness today, and then tomorrow get up and make that same resolve, that same resolution, you'll become successful in doing so. But you don't wander on to the pathway of righteousness. You don't just kind of meander and then find yourself there. You have to enter. You remember the two paths we talked about? We talked about in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, enter into the straight and narrow gate. And then Proverbs, where the man was talking to his son, and he said, enter not into the path of the wicked. Both of those verses that we read have the word enter. So there is a choice and an effort made to get on to each path. You enter onto that. It's just like these roads we were talking about that maybe had the big sign that said wrong way, but there's these on-ramps. You go around the loop, and here's the on-ramp coming. You got to keep your eye over there. I know, way Lubbock is, but there's a way to get on that road. How do you get on the pathway of righteousness? John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 6. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now Jesus was talking about this great place he was going to create. And he said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. But Thomas was asking a question. And I think he asked it out of great sincerity. How do we get there? How do we know the way to go? Because you're going away. You're not going to be here. We're not going to be able to walk with you. How do we know what to do? How do we know the way? And Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father by me. See, the on-ramp is Jesus. That's the on-ramp to the pathway of righteousness. That is the on-ramp to that one path that leads to that one destination of eternal life. And you only get on that by being in Jesus Christ. And you can only be in Jesus Christ by being obedient to the gospel and being baptized into his body. There's only two spots in the Bible that talk about the action that actually places someone that is outside into the body of Christ. That's Romans 6 and Galatians 3. And they talk about being baptized into Jesus Christ, and that's what it takes to get on the on-ramp to the right path. And if you're not going to take that ramp and enter into the pathway of righteousness, then you've just chosen to enter the pathway of the wicked. Because rejecting Christ means you accept the other way. Christ says you're either with me or against me. Which path are you on this evening? If you find yourself this evening not on the right path, then we would urge you to make a change tonight. And we want to help you with that. We want to help you get on the pathway of righteousness, take that step, and become a member of the body of Christ and start walking with Him. Maybe you've been walking with Him and on that pathway and you find yourself troubled by temptations. Maybe you find yourself to where you've fallen off a little bit, had some issues that you're having a hard time dealing with. Guess what? We've had those times too. We all deal with these temptations and these times we struggle with. But together we can pray with you and pray for you that you would have the strength to remain. We love one another and we want to help one another continue to travel the pathway of righteousness. If we can help one of either class this evening, we would ask you to come forward, take a seat on the front pew, make your request known while we stand and sing the next song.